Welcome to The Cult Sharp, your campy, irreverent source for retro fun. We love 80s horror, comedy and sci-fi. We also love talking about these great films. Sometimes we stay on topic, other times not so much. So pop in a VHS tape, adjust the tracking, and join in on the conversation.
We may not have internet. We don't have Neil.
Neil's here. He's just getting beverage.
Hi.
So I would recommend squinting at your screen right now, and we'll probably look better.
Yeah.
Or, squint.
Or maybe drink a lot of alcohol.
That's
I can't really condone that but you know.
That.
It might Robert help Shaw's brother in Jaws. Squint.
Squint and Quinn. That's us.
Oh my God, we're Squint and Quinn.
Hot, you know.
Don't make me laugh, it hurts.
When you broadcast from a basement, sometimes the internet sketch.
Sometimes when we don't take the garbage out, mom likes to
turn us off.
Yeah.
Oh well, it's okay. Yeah. Just like you said, pretend it's 1996 internet. and you're watching your favorite 4 megabyte movie download it took you 3 days to get.
Yeah,
that's us.
That's us.
That's us.
But in all seriousness, we may re-upload this. So if you're watching it and it looks good, then aren't you lucky?
That's right.
And if you're on the podcast, you don't give a fuck.
you're like, what? They're live? I didn't know that.
Tonight, we're going to be talking about road games in the newly minted month of March being Women in Horror Month. We are celebrating one of the queens of horror, Jamie Lee Curtis. Road games. Australia, Stacey Keach.
Yep.
What more do you want? An adorable dog.
A dingo.
A dingo.
That doesn't steal a baby.
That's right.
No baby. Steals an heiress. All right, everybody.
Stole my heart.
stole everyone's hearts, Caleb. Cheers.
Happy Friday.
I agree, Miss Movie Buff. It's probably just a ghost. Ghosts do like to mess with electronic equipment, right?
They enjoy it a lot, from what we understand.
Let me understand.
That and your cupboards.
That was the old place.
Yeah.
They're not in my cupboards now. They ain't in my cupboards no more.
Ghost in the Cupboard. It's a new book.
It's better than the Indian in the cupboard.
Maybe they're there. They're just not strong enough to manifest it.
They have brittle hollow bones
there
and they can't. They can't push.
They don't have the anger. You make them too happy, so they don't.
I delight them.
What they have to do is they have to get inside your dolls, especially your dummies with the pull strings. I bet Scott would love that.
Speaking of, yes. I acquired a new child.
Really?
I should have brought a picture. Darn it. It's very sad he's nude. He doesn't have any clothes. And, you know, we have a saying in our house, no dummy left behind.
Right.
So he had to come home. He was, like, very inexpensive, perhaps because of the nudity. But, you know, we cleaned him up. We put him up with the other boys. So far, everybody's happy. They're turning into a real gang.
Are you sure he's happy being paraded for everyone to look at with no clothing?
That can
be traumatizing to a little dummy.
How am I going
to
find a little suit that fits him?
Like, you're out there.
He's tiny. I might have to sew him something.
He's a loincloth or something. Give the doll his dignity, for God's sakes.
A paper towel, anything.
You guys, it's not like he has a little junk.
You can buy a little kid underwear.
Oh my God, what about a little onesie? Probably like something for very small.
Yeah, you could do a onesie.
Get like the preemie baby clothes.
Yep.
Do they make suits?
Yeah.
I'm going to insist that you do this.
No, this is kind of weird.
You act like his little junk is saying no. He doesn't have junk.
You know, he's probably getting teased by the other dummies.
Never. Never. It's blood in, blood out in our house. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. And he's the one being blooded.
Yeah.
Never. Stop it. You know
Standard
what?
All over the internet telling that he doesn't have junk.
If you keep this up, next time you come over to my house, someone may garrote you. Just like
he's,
in the
he's
film.
At home right now just going, just shut up, Mom! Just shut up!
We're on his side. We're trying to help
him. I know.
You.
I don't think he's thinking like that. I mean, the poor man's like 80 years old. He's just like, what? Huh? In other news, I'm trying to get to my notes.
In other news. Hey, welcome to the cult show.
In other nudes.
Thanks for being here tonight.
I watched a terrible movie.
Oh.
I had an opportunity to be with a friend, and we're like, let's watch something really, really bad and just make fun of it the whole time. Sometimes like how we do on the cult show, only it's way more fun if you're actually with a friend in person. It's very depressing if you're alone to watch a bad movie.
No, I thought you were an insult towards us. It's fun when you're with a real friend.
Wow. I didn't say
that's what it sounded like. That.
No, but you know, like sometimes you're like, oh, maybe this will be fun because it's so bad. But if you're not like with people, it's just the most depressing thing probably ever done.
Got it.
So I watched Gates of Darkness.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Shocker, right?
Right.
It's from like 2018 or 2019, so it's not that old. It has Tobin Bell. It has John Savage. It has Adrian Barbeau. And Wasted. All of them are just... This movie was one of the worst fucking things I've ever seen in my life. It is so bad.
Wow.
Painfully bad. The movie is called Gates of Darkness. There is nothing to do with Gates of Darkness in the film.
Okay.
Like, they're all trying with a very, very bad script. Mm. And I have a theory that whoever made this movie just, like, made it for funsies and was like, I have a lot of money. I can make movies now. You know, like how people do that. And it's kind of like about a possession, but not really. And it's kind of about sins of the Catholic Church, but not exactly. There's a ghost grandpa.
But not exactly.
But not exactly.
Is that close?
He has maybe too much clothes, in fact. Like a lot of accessories. It was just God awful, but it was very funny to make fun of and just makes no sense. It goes nowhere. Goes nowhere. Thank God it wasn't very long. So Gates of Darkness.
Okay. Avoid.
No, watch it. I'm just kidding.
Nice. Yes. Me?
You.
All right. Well, so I was sick last time we were here.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I wasn't fishing for that. I was leading up to I had 2 days off of work. I had the whole weekend off with no kids because I was just – It was gross. It was awful.
Too sick to
parent. So I had a lot of time to watch some things. So, The Gentlemen, a new series on Netflix created by Guy Ritchie. Hmm. If you like English gangster movies, this is a...
Irish or Scottish or no?
It's not a movie. It's a series. It's a show.
Limited series.
Yes. Program.
Yeah, like 8 or 9 episodes or something. Very Guy Ritchie, though. Loved it. Smash through it, watch the entire thing. Currently watching Shogun on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they're pushing that one on me real hard.
It's a very, very, very good show. Enjoying that a lot. You guys gave me, well, 2 books, actually, but I finished one of them already, and that was Hyde, and that was excellent. Have you done your episode on that yet?
Yes. Or is
that
coming? You have to go back.
I have to go back. Okay. Yeah. I will go find that then and listen to that.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. You get a book sometimes. You don't want to put it down. Yeah. Just absolutely loved it. It's a lot of fun. Really interesting idea.
Kirsten
too.
White.
Yeah. And then I watched another thing, but I'm going to let Neil, when Neil gets
you can
to
go
that.
Ahead.
Oh, no, it's fine.
No,
it's fine. No, it's all right. You go.
Okay.
Tell us.
You go.
So we watched this movie, not together. It just happened to be we both watched it last week, the new Nick Cage one, Dream Scenario.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Which looks so funny. It was such a good trailer.
That's one of the things we were saying was we'll try to spoil it since you haven't seen it yet. But
you didn't like
it? We thought, well, no, it's not that you didn't like it.
Yeah,
it's good. It's just I as well was going into it thinking it was going to be mainly a comedy, maybe a little weird, but you know, but
it's like Cage.
Not really. I mean, there's comedic elements, but it's more off-putting in ways, you know, I guess, right?
This like a had, and I'm not going to spoil anything of what happened, but this has one of the most awkward situations in a movie that I've ever seen in my life.
Ooh.
Where
is
I
it
was,
deliberate?
I mean, it's part of the movie. It's what it, you know. But it is just so awkward and made me feel so uncomfortable that I was, like, kind of watching through fingers, you know, and it just, like, and when it ended, the scene ended, I mean, I had to turn the TV off, and I had to go back to it the next day.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It was...
I've never heard of such a thing.
I don't like uncomfortable situations.
So you must love sitcoms.
You know. No, I mean... Like, Meet the Fockers made me uncomfortable. I did not like that movie or any of its follow-ups. And that's supposed to be comedy, right?
It is.
Yeah. So I don't like those. They make me feel yucky and gross and bad for the person that is, you know, being doing tormented. The awkward things.
Do you have the same issue with, like, Borat? Like, when they're doing the jokes on the people?
This is very... We're going, dude, this is therapy. This is a safe space.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because I don't remember that feeling. Because they're making fun of people, you know, that deserve to be made fun of.
Typically.
Right?
Yes,
does that make sense? You know, like the Christian family or the, you know, politicians. Or,
right.
You know.
So it's fine. So
I'm not going to say those make me feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
No.
Okay. No. Just curious.
So,
but we liked it. I liked it.
Yeah. By the end, when I finally powered through it, it's a good movie.
There's not a lot of things in movies that can make me uncomfortable. The recent one that comes to mind was in, what's it called? Xanadu.
Yeah.
Like, that movie just made me feel for everybody else involved with it, that they thought, like, God damn, we're bringing back the MGM musical. And it was like, it didn't.
I have to disagree with you on that one. I
strongly disagree.
Yeah.
That's a lovely, charming film.
It is. It's a good time. A charming.
With a kick-ass title song, too.
It was embarrassing because I felt bad for them for putting so much hard work into it. They worked hard.
Were you not there? I requested that song the last time I went roller skating, too.
That's the only place it's appropriate to request such a song.
I took my kids and my nieces there.
Did you guys skate in the line going...
My kids and nieces didn't want anything to do with me. So I was out there going, I was doing it myself.
Good.
I don't care.
God bless you, Caleb. God bless Xanadu.
Keeping the dream alive.
Uh-huh.
All right. Something else I did watch. Because actually, my son and wife were out of town for about 4 days. So I as well had time. So I got to consume mass quantities.
Of media.
Of media, of content.
Tell us.
Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live.
You did go back to our ex-boyfriend, The Walking Dead?
And God damn it, it was good.
Oh! Is it like all out? Like
no, it was a Shudder lets you watch one free episode, the first episode.
So you watched one episode.
I watched the first episode. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch it. But then it ended and I was just like, fuck. Like, damn it.
Went back.
So now I'm like... So then, like, the second one appears, so you click on it, and it's like, subscribe to AMC Plus to watch, you know.
Which you already canceled because you were so mad about.
Right. So now I'm gonna wait maybe until they're all released, and then maybe I'll get it and try to watch them all, but.
Yeah, that's, I think same. Like, I mean, we had our whole conversation about The Walking Dead being, like, an ex
on
the show.
Yeah.
And I do think I want to know how that arc ends,
right.
But I'm not willing to pieces. Like, I want it to all be out, and then I just fucking watch it.
Yeah.
Because I might, I don't know. Because if it's a disappointment, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I believe me. Like, you know, you guys know me. I was hate-watching the last 3 or 4 seasons. And, you know, I mean, I was – but and I was so happy when I finished, but – it was Rick and Michonne, and I had to go back. You know,
I care about that.
Something was calling to me through the TV.
I care about Rick and Michonne.
Exactly. So I just kept hearing, you know, Neil.
Carl's gone.
Carl.
But I've got Carl? You.
Bring Carl back.
Neil, where's Carl?
I had to. Anyway, so we'll see what happens with the rest of them. I got 2 episodes of that new thing. The Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids and TV.
I've been watching. This is like the lazy ass millennial version of I watch people talking about on TikTok and YouTube instead of actually putting in the time to watch the program.
Jesus,
but that's like
Sandra, put in the work.
That's like what the recap people do for you, though. Is they're like, I watch it so you don't have to. Here's the facts. I mean, it's just been. It,
I know, it's everywhere now.
Stuff coming out of there.
Yeah, so I wanted to see it because I remember, I mean, Dan Schneider's like the kind of the focal point thus far, at least in the first two episodes. And I remember him on Head of the Class, along with Brian Robbins, who it's kind of funny because they came up together into Nickelodeon. And then Dan ended up becoming like showrunners, and Brian Robbins went on to do more executive stuff. Now he's a freaking head of Paramount, but at least of the theatrical stuff. Mm. But anyway, it's just weird. It's weird seeing it all and hearing about it now and stuff. Yeah. So it's definitely it's interesting. And you're just some of the stuff. You're just like, gee, how many Christmas? What the hell was going through your mind?
Yeah, what the fuck was happening? But Nickelodeon back then, man. So,
yeah, it's bizarre, but. Anyway, but it's good though. I mean, it's very compelling, you know, mean, for sure.
Yeah.
So I watched, I think there's at least four episodes have been on so far, maybe. I'm not sure how far it is, how many there are.
I should watch it.
But
anyway. And I like my recap people just telling me.
That's fine.
Me.
Yeah. Then I feel don't like worry
that's
about
your generation. I'm surprised Neil's watching it.
I know. He's like, what's this show? What show are they talking about?
I had young kids, so
a lot of that's actually younger than us.
Some of it's younger and some of it's older too, actually. So yeah, I mean, it's a good balance, actually.
Obviously the time period, because I mean, when we were teenagers or whatever, there was like, what's the one with the slime they used to dump on you? I can't remember what it's called now. But the original slime one where they would dump slime on the kids when they said a certain word.
Oh.
Anyway.
Yeah, that was before
that's,
our time.
That's like. Before that, there was another show.
Isn't that the one that? Oh, you can't say it on television.
Is that what it was called?
Because that's the one that Alanis Morissette was on.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. And whenever there's a word you say, they dump slime on you. Army Beef, yes, Double Dare. But before that, there was another one. What's it called? You can't say that on television?
Yeah, you can't say
something
that on
like
television.
That is what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, that was when we were younger. But with my kids, especially my son, we were always watching like the iCarlys and the all the shows around them, which are the focus of this show.
Yeah, that was like the heat of it, kind of like trailing
the
off.
The Dan Schneider shows.
Scott and I's day, like that. Like the Amanda show and stuff was like where we were like the turning
point. And all that Amanda Bynes stuff is crazy. And they talk about it, especially with what's happened to her since then.
I know. I'm rooting for her. Amanda, if you're watching, I'm rooting for you, girl. And kind of on a related note, I know I talked about this when it came out like last year, but I'm glad my mom died by Jeanette McCurdy. She was on Nickelodeon, kind of adjacent. Yeah. Such a fucking good book. Even if you've never watched Jeanette McCurdy in anything, amazing. Amazing memoir. So yeah,
cool
little plug.
Other things I just will mention real quick that if everyone hasn't seen yet, we had two trailers drop of significance for us in this room, in this world of horror, of a genre that we so much love.
Oh, I don't want to
which one.
Beetlejuice.
Absolutely. I don't know about you guys, but I got a big ass smile on my face after I watched that.
I'm thrilled.
Seeing him back was just like stupid, shit-eating grin on my face.
I know.
So
I'm so excited. Beetlejuice, one of my first crushes. I love him so.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it just looks phenomenal. I feel like, and I don't know, I could be wrong. I feel like it'll have the right amount of fan service without getting into like, you know.
Yeah, patronizing us.
And not too much. I mean, one of my least favorite things in sequels is too many callbacks.
Mm.
I use the example all the time. Why is the rum always gone? And it's like, for fuck's sake, please stop. Like, you have to limit these things.
Right.
And I think he's going to do it right.
I would hope.
Yeah.
Mother is back.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm assuming it sounds like, looks like they killed off Jeffrey Jones because you obviously can't have him in the movie at this point. So that's based on that scene where they show it looks like a
funeral.
We've got
Justin Theroux in there instead.
Oh, is he in there?
Yeah, he's the other one at that grave site scene.
Oh, interesting. Wearing
fucking coat.
Like, is that supposed to be Lydia's?
Is that her man?
Maybe.
Ooh. Oh, maybe. Okay. Interesting. Maybe.
That's kind of how I took it.
Or is that mom's new man?
It could be that too.
Is it
maybe, but he's not standing next to the mom. He's standing next to Lydia,
could
though.
We throw in Issel?
That makes sense.
I want to be the new
Otho. Yes, the new Otho.
And
Lydia does have a daughter, so.
Maybe they crossed over finally.
I have so many questions. I'm so excited.
Yeah, maybe they're in the brick chimney in the other side doing Juno's job.
Oh, I mean, who knows? They're probably going to need more caseworkers.
They do need more caseworkers. Yeah. Absolutely. It's cool. And the one sheet, the teaser one sheet is so cool. It's just like Beetlejuice's hands.
Yes, holding with the number. The tape. So iconic.
Yeah, it's so cool. And then Alien Romulus. That also came out. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's it.
I'm probably a little bit more apprehensive about Alien Romulus, though I don't know why. I'm sure I like it.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, it's Fede Alvarez. He overall, yeah. I mean, you have to wait and see. His stuff tends to be a little more, I don't want to say serious. Is mean-spirited, I guess, maybe sometimes? His movies, you know? Well, but not necessarily in a bad way.
Because you're mean-spirited.
Which is true.
No, Neil 100%. Is a nice person. We had this conversation in the kitchen at work earlier today.
Neil, you're so nice. Please don't fire me. That's what
and
I
then it boiled
to
down to who's a nice person to cats.
To cats.
Oh, to Caleb cats?
Men, yes.
Absolutely. Oh, to cats, period.
To cats, period.
All right.
Hey.
Probably get this started.
Yeah, we're late. Real quick.
Hey, you know what? It's our goddamn show.
Cult film series in April. Can I just real quick tell everyone, April 4th, People Under the Stairs and Shucker.
Nice.
Followed by That's 2 weeks crazy. Later... Enter the Clones of Bruce and the Dragon Lives Again. It's a Bruce Lee feature, yet there actually is no Bruce Lee in either of the films. It's just wild. The first one is a new documentary about when Bruce Lee died, the other filmmakers who wanted to use his likeness to make money off of him. Crazy. And then The Dragon Lives Again is like the most infamous of those movies. Yeah. It's because it's bonkers. Freaking movie is bonkers. Bruce Lee dies, goes to hell, and he meets Dracula and Popeye and James Bond. And I mean, all it's freaking nuts.
They probably didn't have the rights to any of these
No, of course
people.
Not.
Not a one.
Yeah. But, yeah. But it's funny. It's so funny. Anyway, that's all I got for you.
Okay.
That's enough.
Other than that, by the way, we have merch. Where do they go to get our merch, Caleb?
TheCultShow.com/store.
There you go.
Because we put the slash in...
Fiction.
<I don't know.
laughs>
Slash fiction. Slash, yes.
You know, right. You know. I would like the Jake bumper, please. Just hearing his little voice. So as aforementioned, tonight we are talking about 1981's Road Games, directed by Richard Franklin and written by Everett DeRoche and
DeRoche?
DeRoche? I mean, it's the man's name.
Not DeRoche, but
what
it's DeRoche.
Mean spirited. What was I saying? And Richard Franklin, I think, had
DeRoche's and a cat
story. He had the credit for that. Stacy Keach playing Hat Quid.
The Keacher.
Jamie Lee Curtis playing Hitch. Some other people. So this was 1981. The 70s and 80s had a slew of trucker and car movies, and this is kind of like one of the horror entries of that. It's kind of horror thriller comedy. It's all of the above. Stacy Keach is Pat Quid, mostly called Quid to his friends. He's a long-haul trucker, and he has an adorable dingo companion named Boswell, and he waxes philosophic whilst driving his rig, and he picks up the occasional hitchhiker, and he picks up a heiress on the run. Her name is Pamela. That's Jamie, but he often calls her Hitch, and they become on the pursuit of a man in a green van who is killing other hitchhiking women with a garrote.
Yeah.
So
and then dismembering them.
Then putting them all over Australia.
Yeah.
So I had only seen this movie a handful of years ago, in the last few years. It was on Shudder. I think it's been on Shudder a few times, and I'd never seen it. And I was like, oh, Stacy Keach, Jamie Lee, let's do this. And I was so goddamn charmed. And I was like, why is everybody talking about this movie? This movie's fucking charming and fun and delightful, yet somehow also about... Yeah, that's, you know, we love Charmy around here. But somehow also about a man who's garroting women. And it's like, how does that all make sense? But it does. It just works. It just works. And I have nothing but positive things to say about this movie. And I don't think it gets talked about enough. And we've talked about it a little bit. And so it was time. It was trying to bring Road Games to the cult show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you'd seen it.
This was my very first time, and this movie fucking charmed my pants off.
That's why you're not wearing pants.
Yes. Yes. This is why,
because
I'm always shocked.
Because you're up on Sandra's shelf. You don't wear pants on Sandra's shelf.
Right. No, I put charming right in this, you know, his spontaneous poetry, his, you know, talking to his pet dingo and making up games and just to pass the time, like the way they sort of like use exposition of him just talking and bantering to let you know what's going on.
Right.
I thought was an awesome, awesome way to sort of lay the movie out. I also thought I went back and I read, I liked Keach's character so much.
Of course.
Henry Fonda won Best Actor in 1982 for On Golden Pond, which came out in 81, just like this movie. And I personally would like to take it away from Henry Fonda and give it to Stacey Keach.
You know what? I'm going to take it and throw it in the fucking golden pond.
I think we can put up the chat to start that petition.
Yeah. I liked him in this movie so goddamn much.
Yes! Yes!
I want to get in his truck. I want to, like, play games with him.
Yes!
I want to pet his dingo.
I want this life!
I want a road trip with this guy.
Producer Scott watched this movie with me, and I know that he's always happy to watch our movies, but sometimes with my picks, I know he's like, what traumatizing hell is this going to be? What did you think of the film, Producer Scott?
Oh my God, it's charming.
No better word.
It is so fun. He is just an incredible, fun, and loving, unproblematic character. It's a really fun romp, and it has like moments of classic 70s, 80s hilarity, like with the boat.
That
makes
is
no
kind
sense
of that
whatsoever
era.
But you're still like, yeah, ah.
With like a legitimately good script. That's like, I love it. I loved this movie.
I'm so glad.
Although we'll talk a little bit later. It also, there's a scene in this movie that I am surprised is not like as famous as the fight scene in They Live.
Oh, it I think I know what you're going to talk about. Yeah, I think I know.
Yeah. I mean, I thought this movie is great. I think it's a fantastic film. That's why. That's why we're going to be showing it at the Cult Film Series soon.
So, what?
But
what?
You heard it here. What? But I watched it. I don't remember when it was. It was a while ago. But then I rewatched it. And then obviously for this. But yeah, it's like everything they said. I don't want to. Don't need to lay more on. But it's Stacey Keach. He really is everything in this movie. And we love Jamie Lee Curtis. But this
without saying.
But he really is the one that you're just like, you fall in love with it.
And she's our feminist girly icon in this movie too, which is just like so fun. Have you seen it, Michael?
No.
I think you'd like it. Michael has not seen it.
He'll see it soon.
You will see it soon. Can I just say, like, on the Keach, talking about the Keach, I'm going to say something, and I don't mean it to sound as harsh as it's going to come out, okay?
Okay.
Because I don't have any problem with Chris Pratt. But I feel like Chris Pratt wants to be Stacey Keach in this movie in a lot of his work. Like, I even said at one point, Chris Pratt could never. And it was because, like, he you can tell he wants to be that. Like, he's so charismatic and funny and, like, kind of dry in his humor and kind of kind and stuff. And it's very much like, I feel like Chris Pratt maybe saw this at an impressionable age and he's like, this, I'm going to make this my whole personality. And I'm glad he did, but let's, you know, give credit where credit's due.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take
Interesting.
It.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And God, he's so young in this movie. He's a baby, little baby Keachling.
He's pretty young. I mean, what is he supposed to be? Probably mid 40s?
Yeah, in the movie's supposed to be in his mid 40s.
Yeah.
I don't know how old he really was.
He looks so much like your dad. It
does he really
look terrifying? Yeah.
Well, I think he looks like my dad now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Like now my dad. But I don't think my dad young looked like Stacey Keach young. I don't think.
I mean, kind of.
I don't know. We'll have to get some side by side photographs.
Put some pictures up for the and do a thingy in the chat.
Oh my god! Here, let's just draw it. Just draw it from memory.
Just do it.
That's our game. Draw so
well, that's okay. Stacey Keach is like my celebrity father.
There you
that's
go.
Fine.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So he's on the CB, right? Doing his thing.
Yeah.
And then he's like, quid, as in British sterling. And I love that
so
part.
Silly.
It's like, British, well, this is hysterical.
It probably only makes sense in Australia and Britain. But
yeah. Right.
Well, I just wonder, like, I mean, if some of this stuff was improv. I don't know.
I don't know. It very well could be.
I don't know. I didn't do any research into this movie, and I don't think anybody has ever written any research about it. Like, I think it just kind of exists out of time and space.
But the funny thing is, you easily get the sense that whoever his dispatcher is, mm-hmm. you know, that sends him out or whatever. You
she's
know,
used to these.
Used to it. And she, you know, she's like, why are you always such a problem? Or right. yeah. whatever. Because, like, one point he's like rubbing a thing on his face, going, what? Right. I can't hear you. Yeah. Why? Scratching and everything.
What a silly goose.
He is.
So he and Boswell trucking across the ginormousness of Australia, no doubt, but they seem to be kind of around Perth. Is kind of like, seems where they're kind of
at least in this part. Yeah. Yeah, at this point.
I think they're in the south part.
Between Melbourne and Perth, was it, I think?
So from the advent of the automobile until the 80s, everybody was hitchhiking like all the time. People were hitchhiking all the time. And it really often did not go well. But it also was very normal in a lot of parts of the world, too.
Like illegal, but everyone still did it.
Everybody was doing it. So everybody's hitchhiking. Nowadays, it's like, Christ Jesus, you absolutely do not get into a car that you don't know the person.
Yeah. Uber and Lyft.
Yeah, but that's even a little like you got something, but even that's kind of sketch. Yeah. Yeah. So movie pretty much opens with a lady who was hitchhiking dies. And Quid was gonna pick her up, but he didn't, and the green van picked this lady up.
Right. And then where he's basically sleeping that night, he happens to see them in the hotel right in front of him, and notices that early that morning, mm-hmm. the dude's looking out his window at the garbage.
By the way, before she gets killed, though, she's playing a guitar.
Yeah.
She is.
In the buff. She tunes that E string way too fucking high.
Too high?
Thank you! I
wouldn't
like,
know.
That's supposed to be a low E, and she gets it up to, like, an A sharp. I'm surprised that string didn't, like, snap and, like, poke her right in the eyeball. Swear to God.
And isn't guitar strings, isn't that what he kills people
It is,
with?
Yes. Yeah, okay. But he's got his own.
His own supply.
I gotta say, I almost turned the movie off at that point. I'm like, oh, fuck this.
This is not real.
That's not an E sharp. Fuck this.
No, I get that because when she was tuning it up, I was like, oh, there it is. Oh, she's still going. Right. Okay.
Oh, she's gonna keep going.
No, now you're on the next one. Oh, you're above the next one. A half step.
Hot step. Well, that's why he killed her. Felt
that's
the way
why
you
he killed
did.
Her.
That's why he did it.
You can't tune a guitar.
He wasn't gonna kill her, but then he's like, "Oh, not in my country of Australia. Not in my country. That's a continent of Australia.
Instead of no more wire hangers, it's
no more E
no more E sharps.
Yeah.
Well, she's also sliding her hands on, and it's making way too much noise.
Maybe she's learning.
No. those strings are pretty smooth. They wouldn't make that much noise.
Have you ever tuned a guitar naked?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just
is that the correct way to do it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I believe you. Any stringed instrument should be nude? not a woodwind.
No.
Not brass.
It doesn't really matter if you're doing the stand-up bass because that pretty much hides everything anyway. So that's just sort of up to you. But
it's cultural. It's cultural. You know,
from a cello on down, knock yourself out.
Write that down, kids. speaking of kids, there's one point where he's on the road and there's the kids with the Kiss makeup in the car. That made me laugh.
Yep.
Oh, and that's the other thing. He's making up names for everybody.
And backstories. Right. He's actually right about
one. And he's right. And the funny thing, he is right, but they're really funny.
Yeah.
Like, sneezy writer. I was dying.
That was a good one.
I was fucking dying.
Singer, wasn't it?
Yeah. So this guy on a motorcycle sneezes and, like, almost crashes. And he just says, all right, sneezy writer.
It kind of like...
That's so funny.
Scott liked the balls part. He liked that.
Oh, yeah.
He
laughed, you guys got like, a lot
way,
of balls.
Way
balls.
Too hard.
Yeah. Yes.
It feels like, I mean, I talk to myself and I also talk to my pets. And this all felt very relatable. So, and especially when you're out on the road, do you ever do that too? You're like kind of talking about like the people you see.
I'm like, talking to my pets when I'm on the road. I'll get Jake on the phone, yeah. Jake and I just go at it for a little while.
Let me get Jake on the horn.
Jake, look at this guy.
And he's like, meow, meow, meow.
The things that I say in the road, I can't repeat on this show.
Yeah, I know. It's usually like pretty angry
stuff. Yeah, it's angry stuff.
I'm more on the quid side of things, I guess.
Okay.
He has a hands-free harmonica. I wasn't expecting him to pull that down after a bit.
Well, the opening credits song when they're loading the truck.
Yes.
And it's like there's harmonica playing, but he's playing
it,
like,
him.
In the scene.
It's, for the meat people.
It's so
it's so silly.
It's silly. Yeah. And I feel like
better
they
use
know
of a harmonica
silly.
Than they live.
Oh, everything's better than sorry. Whoa. Whoa, I know. Whoa. Let's not get on that tangent.
I can't. With
can't
you.
Sit next to me anymore.
I actually think you might be right.
Let's not compare apples to oranges here. There's no aliens in this.
So you film. Mentioned the meat truck.
So he's going to be moving pigs.
Pigs.
He's still gross.
And their tagline, pleased to meet you.
Love it. Fucking love it.
M-E-A-T. For you podcasters who couldn't see my air quotes.
Disgusting. So gross. So he hears on the radio about body parts being found. And a lot of kind of like the exposition comes as he's listening over the radio. Which makes sense because he's a trucker. And again, like, I don't know exactly. I'm sure there was a cultural reason for, like, in, like I said, in the 70s and 80s, like, there was, like, country sounds about being a trucker. There was movies about being a trucker. And, like, and cars and just, like, the open road of it all. I don't know if it was, like, a post-war thing or what, but there was a lot of romanticizing. Smokey and the Bandit, Convoy, you know, these movies where you're, like, just a man on the road. You've got your ride or your rig.
Right.
Yeah.
Always on the move, never tied down to anything.
Tied down.
I think that you could possibly argue, like, an Easy Rider thing did start that with the whole, and of course that was from Freedom and revolting against the man and all that kind of stuff, and that could have set that possibly, you know, moving. Who knows?
It's kind of interesting.
Because you're right, there was a lot of that.
But he's not a trucker. If you ask
he's not a trucker.
I may drive a truck, but I'm not a trucker.
Not a trucker. That's right. He says that several times.
Twice, at least.
Yes.
So his first hitch he picks up is hilarious.
Fucking Frida.
Woman, Frida. And he had seen her in the car, and he had called her husband an accountant, and he didn't know how right he was. Turns out they're kind of on the lam, because her husband is the reason why there's like a meat shortage.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
got
to get the meat to the people.
Right. Yep.
Gross.
The butchers are on strike.
Butchers are on strike.
Yeah.
So I called her very presumptuous. Like, she's a very presumptuous woman.
Yeah.
She's very funny. And, of course, like, you know, later we get to see him and Jamie have wonderful banter and chemistry. But they have very good banter, too. Mm. And it just, I think it kind of shows the power of his performance in this movie and his character, you know, that it's like, he loves to talk. He's actually quite well read and stuff. So people get in there and he just banters. He banters with Boswell, banters with everybody.
He is a banter. But she kind of quickly gets on a nerve.
I mean, I can see why her husband left her on the side of the road.
Right.
Yeah. On accident, right? Yeah.
But she immediately, like, what? I don't remember what happens where she gets suspicious.
She has, like, paper or something. They're talking about the murders and how they would do it.
Right.
Yeah, and it kind of, like,
spooks her for some reason.
I think he talks about, like, I think he's, like, saying, oh, it could be somebody on the road, right? Like, he's kind of,
yeah.
Like, right. He means the green van, and she's like, oh, right. Wait a minute.
Well, you're on the road, and...
Yeah. And, it kind of gets real, real quick there for a minute.
Right.
But, again, it's Boswell, it's Quid, he saves her from going over a cliff, and they get to the truck stop, which has... the most horrifying mural I think I've seen.
Oh,
maybe
the
in
whole
a movie
pan around the store.
Ever. Yeah.
So the shot is cool. Where
just
he's
cool?
on the phone,
yeah.
trying to tell the police he's got a really bad connection.
It's loud.
He keeps having to like say my name is Quid and starting all over again.
Everybody clearly hates him.
But,
in
yeah,
there. He's
the,
not local.
The mural is a little offensive.
Yeah. Basically, the killing of the Aborigine
colonization.
Yeah, yeah all kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, but it was just like it's just one of those things where you're like, is that? Is that what I think it is? My God, how is it getting worse? And it just gets worse.
That's such a great shot, though. That
yeah.
whole
There's
diner
really good
is just
shots in the
so
film too.
Beautifully blocked and staged.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that the camera moves, it's not just like on a pivot. It kind of the cameraman kind of like walks in a reverse circle.
Yeah,
so well done.
And it may be the reason that obviously they're doing that is to show us what. Where he is, it's not really a town. It's a little pit stop in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right, and so, it's kind of maybe like...
And they're all looking at him.
The redneck
right, yep.
things
yeah.
we see sometimes in our movie, it's kind of like the equivalent of that.
Yeah.
I mean, time and place in a movie is very important. More on that later. Might
okay.
have to tie into our game. And the green van guy hurts Boswell.
He somehow... We don't see it because we just all of a sudden.
We don't.
He comes back and Boswell's got him.
But doesn't the proprietor of that little hole in the wall they're
yeah.
in say, like, it's legal? You know, we get a bounty for shooting dingoes.
Yeah.
Right.
And,
yeah, you know, letting him know, like.
And it calls him, like, an outsider or an
yeah.
out of towner or something, yeah. too. And then there's kind of like a guy trying to be intimidating outside and stuff. And of course, like, they weren't being very kind to him inside when he's trying to make a phone call. But so it's like maybe it's not the guy in the green van, but we know it's the guy in the green van.
We damn well know it.
The hurt boss. So this is where your boat guy comes through.
Yeah. He nicknames him Captain Careful.
That is so funny.
It's because he's driving really slow the first time he sees
right.
him.
With his boat, which doesn't seem greatly attached.
Yeah,
he's
I don't know.
Pivoting
I mean,
a lot out on the road.
All I know is for some reason he gets really upset at cars that go zooming past him
yeah,
quickly.
Yeah, but his windshield... Like shatters. Like
it does.
What shattered the windshield?
What did I couldn't
right,
tell.
That's right.
I think it was something on the rig.
I think it was the rock being kicked up by the rig. That's
yeah.
the thing that happens.
Yeah, because right. that happens
yeah.
in life, right?
But of course, his window is fine when you see it the second
yeah,
time.
Yeah, I mean,
but he got repaired.
Fixed.
He got
yeah,
yeah
but
that
where they're
station.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
He went to the thing and got it fixed.
They just happen to have that style.
It was the only windshield in Australia in 1981.
All right,
they only made one type of windshield
that
in the 70s.
Explains it all.
Yeah,
one windshield in the 70s. It's all he made.
They just pulled it off a broke down car.
Every car had the same windshield.
one of his things, I can see it in your notes, he put down his vegan leather boots.
Yes.
That's very funny.
So he's a vegetarian, right?
I mean, I hope so.
Well, if you think about it, all you ever see him eating is vegetables. He had...
Specifically carrots.
He had the carrots and he had the celery at one point. And he has vegan boots.
Oh my God, you're right!
He just has to, like, transport the meat.
But he's not actually a meat eater.
He's a veggie man!
Yeah, I think he is.
My heart.
See, you like it even more. It's even
more
charming now, isn't it?
finally, we get to meet young Jamie. This isn't the youngest we've ever seen her, but she is still quite young in this film.
Yeah.
Which is always, you know, just kind of like, oh my God, you're all so little.
Yep.
Baby.
She's only 3 years removed from Halloween at this point, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. So. Mm-hmm.
So she's also a very smart cookie.
Yeah.
They're very evenly matched right. when they're in the car
he
together.
He immediately gives her a nickname of Hitch.
Yep.
Which is cute.
Yeah.
And a large part of the charm of this movie is also just the two of them. Like I said, mm-hmm. their chemistry, their banter, the way they are together. It's like it's very believable that they would start to have feelings for each other because, like, they're so clearly, like, well-matched. But at the same time, it didn't feel too insta-lovey, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. It was a nice little balance there.
Well, if it were the fog, they would have thrown Jamie and an older man together immediately.
Or but, Holy Three. You know. But, you know, there's only one Tom.
Or Tom Atkinson. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Tom wasn't here. Tom wasn't available.
But this, you know, they do their little verbal foreplay. They talk about the killer and talk about what the motive is and what, yeah. You know, and that's all. But it's done in just a really cute way.
He's worried he's too old. He's also right. worried, like, does your family know that you're out hitchhiking through
right. the you middle of Australia? Right, you should call them and just let them know you're okay. Yeah.
So when they were in the truck and they were talking about, you know, the murderer and, like, maybe, do you think that he makes love to them first and, like, going through this whole thing? I'm like, this is like Criminal Minds colon Australia.
Well, and, like, yeah, definitely for the time it was, if I don't think the average Joe and Jane were, like, talking about, you know, what all the things we know now about serial killers and their motivations and what they do.
Right.
So they were just kind of, like, theorizing. It was right. a little bit more, like, it was more naive, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, people didn't maybe. Know all the horrors of the details of
right.
the average person. Everyone wants to hurt Boz, which is alarming. The cops are suspicious.
They are.
They're not very nice.
They think that he's the killer. They can't prove it.
Right. Not yet. I mean, that was because of Frida, whatever her name was, calling in or no?
They said they had his name at the hotel.
That's right. The hotel yeah. owner yeah. said that he checked yeah. in with the girl.
Right.
Right.
But which his is name where, is on the side
but
of
his
truck.
Name is yeah. right on the side of
and
the
And he
truck.
Mentions that, and they're like, why would someone do that?
Right. See, which is where this is where I thought this is going in a little bit of a different direction.
Mm.
And I was looking for the clues of him perhaps having a some sort of like hallucinatory, you know, night killer sort of vibes. Like he has, you know, he was really the killer all along. Right.
Maybe he really was taking drugs. He right? really yeah. said he didn't.
Yeah.
It was Agatha you know. All along.
Yeah.
Whenever he eats meat, night, he goes crazy.
That's why he doesn't like it.
He goes in the back and nibbles on a little pork. Yeah.
And Jamie does see the van when they're camped out, too.
Yep.
In a strike of lightning.
That's right. He's in the distance. Yeah. Several times the van is kind of
just sitting
following,
there.
Watching, it seems like. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Something's kind of weird going on.
So the soundtrack in general is really funny, except for the harmonica parts, which are great. But it feels like they didn't know how to score this film. Like, it feels like a different
Do you know who scored this?
I was just going to say, is it that guy?
No.
That's a different
they just
guy.
Have the same name.
Okay.
Who is it?
So his name is Brian May, and I'm like, whoa! Guitars for Queen.
That's exactly oh, what yeah, I said. Yeah. That's exactly what
not
I said.
That Brian May,
I have
but
it down right
this
there.
Guy is just, I mean, he did like Mad Max and Road Warrior.
He
and,
was the go-to you know, man.
Australian guy.
In Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. The but, Blue Lagoon. You know. All those things that were filmed down in that
down
area.
Down.
Okay.
No, definitely like the harmonica parts, like I said, were great. But some of the music, I was like, this feels like it's in a different okay. movie. Didn't fit. Kind of took me out of it a little bit. Now we get to one of the best scenes, which is the bathroom scene.
Okay. Yes.
The return of Sneezy Rider.
Fred Flintstone for the blokes.
That's right. Wilma
you see that
for the,
aroma
yeah.
for the
yep.
for the Sheilas.
The Sheilas. So,
so
they see
the
van.
Van. Right.
Yeah. And so, and they see there's a guy in one of the stalls. So they're like, it's him. It's got to be him. And he's kind of like, he goes in and is kind of like, the jig is up.
He's like
you
yelling.
You sicko. You know.
Calls him you miserable stink. Because he's in the shitter.
And while he's doing that, Hitch is taking the opportunity to kind of check out right. the van and probably look and see if there's anybody in there that needs saving or perhaps just a severed head.
Or clues or anything. Clues, yeah.
yeah. yeah. Takes a while. And he picks up like a piece of metal and he's like, you know, he's going to get him.
It's like a glaive.
Yeah, a glaive. But the fan from the front of a car back in the day.
Yes.
You know, or something.
Yeah.
But
turns out it's not the guy.
No, it's Sneezy Rider.
Who is like frightened, very frightened, but also kind of like, I will get you. And then they're all kind of like, everybody's kind of converging on him as he's trying to get back in the truck, because now we realize the van has Hitch.
Because he was, the guy was in there.
Oh, he was a little jump scare.
Yeah, he was sleeping in there.
Right.
But what I like was, so his truck, he's got like the front end lifted up because he was working on the engine underneath. So he jumps on Sneezy Rider's motorcycle. He jumps on it, and you think he's going to get this great chase scene, and he just eats it right away.
It was really good.
We love that, and that's kind of like makes me think of that like archetype again that Chris Pratt kind of does, where it's like sometimes where you think like this guy's so fucking cool, he can do anything, and then it's like, oh, he really can't. Can't do anything.
Well, that's what makes him more endearing to you.
Absolutely. He's,
you know, in every.
And where are we gonna leave the rig?
Right.
With the meat.
With the meat, you got it. You try to save Jamie Lee, but. That didn't go so well. So what's just funny though is it's the poor guy he's harassing in the toilet, and then he runs out and like
takes his bike.
He gets his thing, like, and chase him off the bike, you know, again, and then he gets on, bites it like right away, and it's pretty funny. Yeah,
but like Chase C Network.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. Then he gets back into his truck eventually.
Back into the truck, and then he's kind of gets in his own head a little bit and starts to think that. You know, maybe this is some kind of a prank, or they were kind of working him, and Hitch is in on all the dark thoughts.
Well, he looks in, and it looks like she's just sitting in the front seat, like chatting with Green Van Guy.
Green Van Guy.
Well, she clearly must be unconscious, right? Because she wasn't trying to struggle or anything.
Probably, or maybe she's like yelling at him, but I don't know. Maybe she's trying to reason with him. Who knows? Mm. So he begins to think they're in cahoots, and he's like talking in his head a lot, and I can see that. Maybe that's where Scott was thinking, like, oh, is he okay? Is he like, well, I mean, the truth of the matter is he really does need sleep. Like,
yes, he does.
He's been out on the road and he's like looking for a killer, and he may have just also found the love of his life. He's got a lot going on.
Right. And they make that a point.
His dingo.
Yeah. They make it a point that he is working beyond the hours he should be at this point.
Right.
So.
And the strike.
He's breaking the law by not sleeping.
Right.
Breaking the law.
And driving a rig.
Yeah. Breaking the law. I thought this was very clever in my notes. I say, strolling through the meat for a meat miscount.
Yes.
He is like, he's supposed to have like 150 or something. And he has 152.
Yeah, it was something like that,
And he's like, well, maybe, you know, guy just put another one or whatever. And again, this is kind of making you think like, why is there an extra body? Yeah.
Right. Why?
But then he starts having this whole dialogue where he's asking questions and answering
him. A body he asks him out loud, but answers him in his head. It was really cool.
That was a body with breasts.
Yeah,
there was a body with breasts.
But, you know, you know, pig bodies also kind of look like human bodies, so he could be tripping.
Yeah, like he's talking about, in fact, he's like, well, maybe Sam, the guy who loaded them.
Yeah.
He's like, Sam made a mistake. Then in his head, he's like, Sam doesn't make mistakes. Yeah. He's just like, he's having this great dialogue with himself that was really cool.
That felt very Hitchcock to me for some reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
It did feel very Hitchcock in angry.
Yeah. We'll get to that later, too.
Needs sleep. So now he's... he sees the van. The van, like, runs out of gas or something.
He gets the... Well,
the weigh station.
Well, they're chasing each other down the hill, kind of.
Yeah.
He has to stop to get weighed.
Yes.
So he does.
But we meet Lester the Lonely.
Right. But the van runs out of gas right in front of the weigh station.
Yep.
So they're both just sitting there.
And they're trying to, like, get going and stuff. Cause
and Lester, got a pot of coffee. You want that?
Oh, sweet.
Oh, wait a second. You got some wire wrapped up around your axle there. I got some wire cutters back in the office.
I felt bad for Lester. You can tell that probably, like, he doesn't get a lot of visitors. Yeah. And probably Quid would normally stop for that coffee.
Mm-hmm. Right. And probably has on many occasions.
I think clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lester likes Quid like we like Quid.
So that's why when he's driving away, Lester's still back there, like, mumbling to himself.
It's like one of the, again, charming details of this film is it's like, why not cut away? But instead, it's still just Lester.
No, I think he did like a Boogie Nights. He's just like, stupid. Afterwards.
Oh, I love it.
Don't push too hard with Quinn.
So, Scott, I think it's time for you to talk about the scene that you think should be more famous. Okay.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
This chase scene where they're going about five miles an hour.
They keep showing the speedometer.
Too. Yes. And it's this scene feels like it lasts for 15 minutes.
Yes.
It is absolutely the They Live fight scene of car chases.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's brilliant and it's purposeful. And it's just, it's like, it just never ends and it's hilarious.
Because the truck does not fit.
Right.
No, the truck doesn't fit.
No, but at one point you've got a policeman caught under the truck.
Oh my God, yes.
On the mentioned wire.
You know,
you've got the police car caught on the truck via the siren. You've got the truck caught on an overhang.
So silly.
It is pretty funny.
And technically, you know, on the cult show, we're all actually glasses wearers. I don't know, a lot of people at home don't know that. We all actually our glasses wearers here, and it is the nightmare of, like, you see them, like,
going, I felt so bad for him.
Especially back in 1991, you couldn't just get a new pair. Like, I saw a tweet meme thing, and I related to it so hard, and it was like, what I'm afraid of in the apocalypse is what happens to my glasses.
Right. No, it's that Twilight Zone episode, you know, with the guy,
all the time in the world. That I'm telling you, like, and I've thought about that when I've watched The Walking Dead. I would be grabbing glasses everywhere there was fucking glasses.
Yeah, just first thing you do is go to Walmart and take the whole rack
of reading. The fucking glasses. Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't do me any good, though, you know?
That's true.
I mean, I'm going in the back. I'm picking up people's prescripts now that the world is over. Like, I'm keeping me and my people in glasses.
Sandra's getting her bat. We're freaking all Negan over the glasses. That's like, what she... screw the food!
And I'm like...
taking the glasses.
Yeah, I know. You're breaking into houses just to find people's prescriptions.
Glasses. And, like, if somebody wants some, I'm going to make them take an eye test so that I know they really need those glasses. Read the line. Next eye.
So the climax of this movie is a 5-mile-per-hour car chase through the alleys of Perth, the back alleys of Perth.
And when he finally gets out of the car, he gets confronted by all the people he's wronged in this movie and the police, and they're all like, he did it. And he's trying to be like, no, it's that guy. He's getting away. Luckily, Pamela Hitch is okay. She's just been in a sleeping bag. She didn't really get hurt.
Well, the dingo saves the day because he barks.
Yes,
dingoes aren't supposed to bark.
He's not a dingo. This is the dog.
But Oswald, you bark?
Again, would have been a really good opportunity to show that he really is crazy and he is actually the killer because he's been calling this dog a dingo the whole time.
I almost feel like
the original script of this maybe had a little bit of a twist ending,
maybe,
and they kind of changed it because there's so many of those breadcrumbs throughout the entire movie that didn't seem like it was for the purpose of being a red herring. It felt like they were seeding this, like, this twist at the end that never came. I don't know. I'd be curious to know if the original script had a twist ending.
It did not come across that. Okay. No.
I think Scott's just thinking of, we watched so many movies and
read so many books.
Bad things like that. There's just a happy movie that's got, you know.
Yeah. The only thing I did come across.
It's a cult show trauma.
There you go. No, the only thing I did come across is there was supposed to be a much more climactic ending. Like the sneezy writer was supposed to, like, smash into the... into the truck, and
they ran out of money?
And Captain Cautious was supposed to come with a new boat that
he
was
towing
and, like, fucking smash that into the truck.
Lady
also. And yeah.
Lady Luck.
Lady Luck 3.
I guess that got too expensive though. So
that's awesome. That would have been funny though.
Mm-hmm. And it is. Oh, the killer is this horrible little grinning creeper. He's horrible.
Yeah.
So glad they got him. And And, you know, he did get a piece of him, too. He did get a piece of him there in the fight.
They got it, yeah.
Yeah. But luckily, Pam was okay. She was in, she spent most of it in a sleeping bag, so she didn't get hurt or anything. And it is kind of cute. Like, they're just, like, being kind of cute at the end. But
he loses his job, loses his truck, and they're just sort of, like, walking down the
wandering,
road.
And he's like, oh, go nuts. She's like,
he's got his mandolin and some books and stuff. And
it's very cute.
And his harmonica.
But wait.
Yes. Okay.
Because we got to have one last scare.
We do.
Right.
What happened? Somebody said.
Go ahead, Caleb.
Well, it just goes through the meat packing plant or whatever, and then it goes into the truck.
All the meat's gone.
So first, all the meat is, the final piece has been taken out. So someone's
eating.
Getting, you know.
Hitchhiker.
Lady. Right. But I felt bad for that lady that has to clean it.
Yeah.
On her hands, she's just got a scrub brush and a bucket, and she's just scrubbing the.
That's fucking brutal. Like, can you get a pressure washer in here or something? And then, to add insult to injury, she gets a string.
A guitar string. Another guitar string.
The guy was putting shit in the truck.
Yeah, and because a head falls in
the bucket. The head falls in her bucket.
No.
The end.
It's a cheesy looking head.
It is a cheesy looking head. Yeah.
Cue the harmonica music.
That's right.
Well, I'm so glad we all had fun. I think we all needed a little fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, so speaking of Hitchcock, so this was going to be Rear Window in a moving vehicle.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Very not that.
kind of like a voyeuristic sort of.
And I get moving vehicle, but it's like Rear Window, you know, one of the is that he's stuck.
No, I know. And he's kind of stuck in the truck.
He's kind of stuck. Yeah.
Anyway.
Stuck in the truck.
I don't know if this is true or not, but Hitch, the nickname Hitch, is like, not only is she a hitchhiker, but also Hitchcock.
Okay.
Yeah.
That could just be.
And then
be
also,
more.
When she's going through all his stuff in the back, there is a magazine that has a picture of Alfred Hitchcock on
it. Yes, there is.
On it. Mm. I don't know if you caught that or not.
Mm. I mean, I think that's really sweet little homages.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Little sweet love letters to Hitchcock.
So, yeah. Sure. Okay. Yeah. It's a fun film. Currently available on, what do we watch? Tubi?
I watched it on Tubi. Yeah.
And it has been on Shudder before.
It has been on Shudder before, but it's not currently.
Right.
And then, of course, it's on Amazon.
Amazon.
Now we're going to play a game.
Yay.
So you can all play as a team for this game. It's kind of a trivia game, and I call it Gears and Get Going. So the theme of this is all movie-related trivia, and they all have something to do with the geographic locations of films, state and city name tie-ins, and also famous modes of transportation. Because this is an open road movie. We were talking about the era, the open road. We're going to see how we do here.
All right.
We ready? And somebody can keep score. That's not me.
I don't have a pen, so I am unable.
Army Beef will do it.
Army Beef is
nominated.
Caleb
has a pen.
I've got a pen. Although I'm never the most reliable scorekeeper, but is it us against you? Is that
yes, okay. The board against me.
All right.
First question. Where does The Exorcist take place?
Exorcist.
In the second story of a house.
That is in it's in New England somewhere. It's where the college is.
Georgetown.
Correct. Georgetown, Washington, D.C.
Good job, Caleb.
Thank you.
That's one.
Ding.
Oh, I better mark that down.
What? Oh, and please feel free to play along. If you're watching, you can add in the chat or add in the comments, your answers below, or, anything at all. If this is like a movie you love or a car you love or something like that, we want to hear about it.
And if you scream loud enough at your device, we will hear it.
We will hear it.
It'll come through, for sure. Yes.
It just reverberates. What is Keanu Reeves's character's name in Point Break?
Johnny Utah.
Nice. You guys are doing good. I'm going to be really shocked if you don't get this one. I know, but everybody's favorite part.
Yes.
Utah, get me two.
movie I watched a lot as a
Who doesn't
small child.
Love Point Break? break. Pink, I mean, pink, come on. Pink, pink break.
Ping pong. Ping pong.
And boing. Then they remade
I've
it.
Never seen it.
Okay.
And they remade it Scotty. As Fast and the Furious.
I tell you, you're in for a treat, but you'd probably hate it.
No, I think he'd like it. I watched that movie so much as a little kid. It's on TV all the time.
Lori Petty.
I'm going to be so shocked.
Gary Busey.
I'd be so shocked and disappointed if you don't get this one.
Okay, great. Pressure.
What is the Blues Brothers Bluesmobile?
It's a car.
We're going to need a make and model.
It's a police, car. Cruiser.
Specifically.
Specifically?
I have no idea.
You're
the Blues Brother.
I know.
You have a literal fucking tattoo.
It's a literal tattoo.
Do you really have a Blues Brother tattoo?
I do.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'll have to show you after the show.
Why do you know that he has a hidden tattoo?
It's just bizarre. Okay.
Yeah, it's just on his.
It's either a Ford, a Chrysler, or a Plymouth.
Anyway,
is that what you need? The car to make?
And I would love the year if people have the years for these things.
Okay, don't tell me. It's a movie came out. It's a 1973 Plymouth.
It's a 1974 Dodge Monaco.
Ah, damn.
Okay. How did you not know that?
I don't know.
I thought you were like, so thought you lived by the Blues, you died by the Blues.
Sarcastically disappointed in you.
Okay.
I'm sarcastically sorry.
What state is Field of Dreams set in?
Iowa.
Depression.
Very good.
I've never seen that movie, by the way.
You never seen Field of Dreams?
I've not seen Field of Dreams. Depression.
Really?
I feel like I don't need to because I know everything about it already, so I don't really need to.
You never had to watch it in like school or anything?
No.
If you build it, they will come.
It's one of my favorite
James Earl Jones, Ray Liotta, The Corn, that whole thing. I know.
It's one of my favorite non-horror movies.
Really?
I love film.
Had to read the book in senior year of English, I think.
No, not I.
Tony Montana is the lead character in this movie.
Scarface.
Nice.
Scurface.
Scurface.
Oh, say hello to my little friend.
We missed. Sorry. See, I'm a bad.
We missed nothing.
We missed one.
We missed the Blues Brothers one.
Oh, but that doesn't count.
And then we got.
I got half.
We got Iowa.
She got half. Iowa, right?
So you should have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Four. Okay.
I'm gonna need the the car for Smokey and the Bandit.
It's a Pontiac Trans Am 1977.
You guys got it. Pontiac Trans Am.
I knew Michael knew that one.
Yeah.
I was going to say 78, so.
Awesome. I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah. Name the title of this film.
I've never seen that movie either.
I haven't even read the title.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Any okay. of them. One or two.
But you knew the car.
Yeah. I know. That's how iconic the car is.
It's iconic.
Okay.
Name this film. After a family is forced to move due to their son's health, they find themselves in a supernatural historic home.
Ooh.
Bubble Boy.
It's a good guess.
Forced to move due to their son's health.
They find themselves in a historic home. Is this like the Secret Garden? Or?
Oh my god, that actually does sound like the plot of the Secret.
It's not. It's no.
Wow,
it's Colin, right?
Yeah, I'm in the garden.
Come to my garden.
James and the Giant
Peach. Musical that no one here would know.
But keep singing, Scott, while we think.
Yeah. It is A Haunting in Connecticut.
Wow. Oh, so 1 point for Michael.
Mike.
You know what?
It's got Connecticut in the title.
You can do
years and get down. That movie sucks.
Is that the
that movie's so bad.
Because they saw a documentary on it.
Yeah.
Is that the theme to the whole thing? There's a
yeah, there's the geography. I explained this.
Don't listen.
We watched that one, right? As part of our haunted things we did that one time.
I think we talked about it, but I don't think we watched it.
We didn't do that in our red, white, and blue.
Yeah, the first
year. We
gotta
do that.
Americana.
That was fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Next.
Okay.
X and Pearl both take place in what state?
In the South, right?
Mississippi? Are they in Kansas?
I don't know. Are they?
Kansas.
Arkansas,
I guess it's Kansas.
Oklahoma.
Well, you can't just like name things. I'm going to need one answer.
Wait, no. Wait, this is a competition.
Yeah,
well, yeah, you guys against me, but you can't just keep like.
I thought
we're not giving you points.
Yeah, you're all on the same team.
We're all together. I didn't get anything right yet.
I know, that's why I'm not giving you any points.
Children,
we are one.
You are one. So united it's, against me.
Oklahoma. Okay.
It's like Oklahoma. Oklahoma. I like that one. Oklahoma?
Texas.
Ah, poo. Oh.
Texas.
Well, Sandra,
Caleb hasn't seen them.
We just felt bad for you because you only had 1 point, and now you've got two.
Texas. You should have got it from that. You're right.
Okay. And it's also like a lot of these that I picked, too. I tried anyway. I tried to pick movies that, again, the time, the place, the setting is important and kind of mentioned.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't trying to, like... like, really stump you with, like, this is not even fucking mentioned in the movie or something. Okay. Name the car driven by Thelma and Louise.
Say, Ford Falcon.
Final answer?
No, but maybe.
That's what are you doing on your phone over there?
I'm going to call that a Plymouth something.
You better not be cheating.
It's a Plymouth Fury.
It is a 1966 Ford Thunderbird.
Bummer.
Oh, see, I got Ford right.
Okay.
It's better than any. Oh, Sandra gets another point. Guys, she's catching up.
Now, this one, you can name.
Todd Pink Cadillac.
You can name any one of the characters. So, anyone, give me one character name from Zombieland. It's a road trip movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all have specific names. And Michael, you can't play anymore. You're helping them win too much.
Wait, Bill Murray.
No, the character name is where they're all where they're from. My God.
Were they character names?
Yeah. Emma Stone.
Bill Murray plays Bill Murray. Bill Murray is a character.
That's
wrong. I don't care. It's a point.
She's trying to say Nebraska. It's not.
She just shushed me.
She shushed you.
I wish I had a button that muted your mic like you can mute us.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, I need an answer.
No, I got this.
There's
city names.
No, this is like so fucking frustrating.
Just one. I need one.
Tallahassee.
Yes.
Yeah, only because I saw it on the only saw it on the chat.
Scott, hide the chat, please.
Who else is okay? Hang on. There's other than Tallahassee. There's Emma Stone and the other girl, and this is concerning.
I know.
I appreciate you all playing along in the chat. I just don't want them to look at it. But thank you for playing along. That's what we want.
No, I have mine up, but I really am trying to avoid. I'm not trying. I am avoiding it.
I trust you.
So.
All right.
I don't. You'll say them and I'll go like, yeah, that's it. Like,
yeah, but,
so,
you know, I can't.
Tallahassee.
Right.
Who was Tallahassee?
Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson. Okay.
Columbus is Jesse Eisenberg.
Okay.
Wichita is Emma Stone. Wichita. And Little Rock is Abigail Breslin.
All right.
Okay.
Such that was clever. It was clever, wasn't it?
Yes, that was very good. Very, very good.
Okay, this one's probably for Caleb or Scott.
Yeah, last time you said that, Neil got his wrong. So
I know, but I don't think Neil knows this.
I didn't get it wrong. I just didn't know the car make, but I knew it was at least a police cruiser.
Well, I knew that too.
You got it right also.
Oh, wait, Sandra, you need another point. Okay.
Thank you. The city where Pixar's cars live.
The city where Pixar's cars live is called... I don't know.
Hang on, dare, Michael.
Hang on.
No, it's...
Michael's band.
It's Red Rock. I can do it for you?
I got it. Sorry, I'm trying to keep it away from the mic.
Oh, God, it's like right there. I've seen the movie.
Oh.
River City.
Right here in River City?
Thank you.
It's.
Jeez.
Okay.
Is Scott
This is the nicest town in the world.
Can you talk again?
Yes, you can talk again.
Radiator Springs.
I even said you could talk earlier. I said you could answer it. Radiator Springs.
Scott, you're on the board.
This island is home to Jaws.
Amity.
Very good. City and state where our heroes live in Stranger Things.
It's also a Midwestern town. I don't recall the city.
Or the state.
Hawkins.
Oh,
that's what, so
damn
that's
good.
City and state.
Oh. Hawkins, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Hawkins, Iowa.
Okay, now we're just naming states. Hawkins, Indiana.
I was getting there.
I think Hawkins is
half a point.
We get half, you get half.
We'll split that one. Give me the car from Vanishing Point.
Vanishing Point.
It was green.
It's a green van.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
Is it a green van?
The green van. It was the green van killer.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
The 1970 Dodge Challenger RT. Oh,
of course.
Did you know that one, Michael?
No.
Are we car guys? We're not car guys. Clearly, we are not. What I know about cars, more so than like makes, models, years, anything like that, I cannot fucking tell you. I know more about the insides of cars and how cars work because I've had so many broken fucking cars in my life. Oh. But I can't tell you about the outside. But it's what's inside the car.
For me, everything about I learned about cars was things I picked up so that I could have conversations with my father. Cars and Jets. You know, that's
Cars and Jets.
Yeah,
that's the name of his podcast.
Yeah.
The football team or airplanes?
Airplanes.
Okay,
let's get him on the horn. Maybe he can get some of these.
He probably knows some of them.
Candyman's City,
Chicago.
Chicago.
Yes, Cabrini Green.
Cabrini Green. Yeah.
What island do Lilo and Stitch live on?
Oahu. Kauai.
It's too late. You said Oahu.
What?
It is Kauai, though.
It is Kauai.
And Scott and I got to go to where they live.
He can change his answer.
Yeah.
That wasn't the final answer.
I barely give you I'll give you some pity. No. That's a pity point.
Oh, my God.
Scott, you didn't chime in with that one.
He's mad. He's sulking.
Are you sulking? We couldn't even get you back for Lilo and Stitch?
I knew the answer to it. I was just letting them answer.
Oh, okay.
I love you, Producer Scott.
Yeah,
the city setting for the movie Barbarian.
Detroit.
Yes.
Very good.
Very important. The famous yellow car from the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
What about it?
Never sport, yeah.
We're gonna need to know the make and model of it.
No, that's Sandra's point.
It's a freaking Nissan.
It's a who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? It's a Nissan Altima.
Do you know, Scott?
It's a Nissan Maxima.
It's a Subaru.
It's a 1997 Mazda RX-7. A car you enjoy.
It's a Nissan Maximus Aurelius.
Well, sometimes even if you haven't seen the movie, you can absorb the pop culture,
it's
right?
True.
Michael Myers, City and State.
He's Springfield, Illinois.
Illinois.
No spring. I'm thinking of Freddy, right? Haddonfield.
Yes.
So I'll get
Michael
there eventually.
Was bursting over there.
I'll get there eventually.
You can play Michael. No one said otherwise.
Michael like knows everything like right away. He's not giving us a shot. We're old. Michael's young.
No, and I told him he was doing too good, so I told him he had to stop.
We had to mute Michael also.
Mute Michael.
Half the room is muted now.
It's like a Zoom call. You're on mute.
One of us better not act up, or otherwise the other will be playing on their own.
There's not really, I don't really have a mute button.
That's the power of Sandra.
This is the state. I want the state, but if you have the city, that's awesome.
Okay.
The state of the Blair Witch Project.
Virginia?
Stupidity.
Okay, not Virginia.
North Carolina.
Final answer?
Sure. I don't know.
Burkittsville, Maryland.
Maryland, that's right.
Okay.
I haven't seen that movie since it came out. Actually, I saw it before it came out, in fact. I saw it on a VHS tape.
You found the footage?
I did. I found it myself.
Lucky.
The guy, remember the place? Yeah.
I think we'll get this one.
Okay.
Poltergeist Town and State.
That is Cuesta Verde is the name of the...
California.
Place they're in California, yeah.
The green hill.
Yes.
The green ledge. This one, we've done this film.
Okay.
Don't Look Now, City and Country.
Don't Look Now?
Don't Look Now.
Wasn't that like Italy?
That's the armpit lick. Armpit lick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Venice.
Wasn't that Venice, Italy?
Yeah.
Venice, Italy. The location
the
of...
armpit lick.
That's the armpit lick.
I know. I thought you meant like where it started when the daughter died. I'm like, I don't know.
Oh. The location of the Wicker Man.
Something...
off of the coast of Ireland?
Well, the place has a name.
Somerset?
Yeah. Somerville?
Summertime!
Hot time see, in the
that
city.
That didn't even get Scott to laugh.
Scott, you must laugh at Caleb singing. Summer Isle.
Summer Isle.
This is Lord Summer Isle. It's close. Summer Isle.
I think Caleb should get like at least
nah,
a
it's okay.
Point.
No, it was wrong.
Nah, I bet you guys will get this one. I really do.
Okay.
James Bond's ride in Goldfinger and I think Thunderball.
His ride was an Aston Martin.
Yes, the 1964 Aston Martin DB5.
Wow.
Douchebag 5.
Douchebag 5. What state is Misery set in?
Missouri.
Funny.
Maine?
Misery. We know it gets snow.
Colorado.
Colorado. Yes. Ah. Colorado.
Very good, Caleb.
While we're speaking of Stephen King, what make and model is Christine?
That's a Plymouth Fury.
1958 Plymouth Fury. This one's for all of our Celine Dion fans out there.
All two of you.
The Titanic was sailing from where to where?
Ireland.
Belfast, New York? Guess not. New York? It was built in Belfast, but then it sailed from...
You're just making that up.
No, it was built in Belfast.
Okay, I don't know that part.
They have the museum there.
Do you know, Scott?
From England then, or did
probably
it sail
England
from
or
England
somewhere,
to New York?
Yeah,
Liverpool.
England, Southampton, specifically to New York.
Okay.
Where is Casablanca?
That is in...
It's in that country, but that, Morocco.
Morocco.
Yes, thank you.
Videodrome City.
Canada somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Toronto?
Yes. Right.
Vancouver?
Toronto.
It was Toronto? Okay.
Yeah. Scott, you may know this one, too. In Baby Driver, Baby's bright red car.
Is it a Dodge Charger?
It's not.
Is it a Nissan?
It is a red...
A Mazda.
It's a red 2006 Subaru. WRX.
Okay. That makes sense. That's a hot little...
That's a hot little car. Hot little car. geographic region where the main action of The Descent is set.
Oh, that was like a... Like, that was like Tennessee or Kentucky. No, I'm close-ish, right?
Sure.
Arkansas-y.
Getting warm.
It was one of those type places.
Georgia.
It's the Appalachians.
Yeah.
So we're kind of right, but I kind of would rather you said it was the Appalachians than like trying to name states.
Oh, all right.
But it's okay. I'll give you that. Captain Jack Sparrow's beloved ship in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Black Pearl?
Other than the Black Pearl?
The Black Pearl. Where is the Amityville Horror House?
Long Island, New York.
Very good. This one make me very proud if you get it. The fictional Scream Town.
Oh, Michael knows that one, right?
No, it's...
No? Michael.
No, Scott?
Fictional Scream Town. Wow.
Woodsboro.
Oh, yeah.
Woodsboro.
Sure, that makes sense.
The Woodsboro Killer. Strangler, whatever they called it, right?
Slasher. Stabber.
Wasn't there a thing like...
Hot Chicha Margarita in the summertime.
I don't really think they did.
Oh, okay. No.
But that's nice. I like that you're trying. Elsa and Anna's Kingdom.
I'm going to
say Rivendell. That's the elves.
Elsa and Anna's Kingdom.
From Frozen.
Yeah.
It's...
Scott? Michael? Arendelle.
Oh, you were close.
You were very close. And last but not least, the Big Lebowski's car.
Oh, geez.
Dodge.
It was like a little...
Was it a little? He didn't have a big
Didn't he have like
hoopty?
A little piece of junky thing? No, it was big. Oh.
Dodge?
It was a Cadillac something.
I love how he just keeps saying Dodge.
I just want to know if I'm on the right track.
Different intonation. 1973 Gran Torino.
Oh.
Okay.
And that was Gears
All right,
and
so
Geek
final
Going.
Final score, Sandra, you had 12 and a half.
Hey.
We had... 15, 20, 23 and a half.
I'm very proud of you.
You could add that up and tell us how many questions you had and see if I missed any.
You guys did really good. I'd say you won the thing.
Good job.
No, good job, team.
I don't know. That might be an F, you know, as far as percentage-wise.
No, you guys did good. I think I had. I mean, it wasn't very many questions. It was less than 30, so.
Okay.
Guys did it.
Yay. Good job. Thank you for those.
Thank you.
That was awesome. We had fun. So.
What's next?
As we wrap, I think it is Caleb's turn.
All right. So I am. So I've been watching 30 Coins, which is made by Alex de la Iglesia, which I believe means Alex from the church or by the church or something like that. Anyway,
something like that, yeah.
He also makes movies. Great TV show.
Great TV show. Movie.
So we're going to do The Last Circus from 2010. And
I heard a lot about this film.
As of right now, it's on Tubi. I hope that stays.
Holds.
You know, okay. But I have,
that keeps.
I have no control over that. So.
No, you do not.
Okay. Well, we better watch it quickly.
We shall try. Trigger warning. There are clowns.
Well, that's why I haven't watched it since 2010.
Oh, no.
It's a clown.
Okay, cool. I don't know anything about this film. So.
Same. This is a totally blind watch.
Yeah.
Other than like a clip I saw and I like, that looks weird. Let's watch that.
That looks weird. Okay. Let's do it.
Cool.
All right.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us. Hopefully the internet held up. Thank you for producer Scott not walking out of the production. We love you. You're off mute. He won't even look up at us.
He was only on mute for about 10 seconds.
Thank you, producer Scott. Thank you, Reverend Michael B. Pod People of the Future, thanks for listening. Like, talk to my dad, Jason Stanhope, as we love more. Thank you for the attic. Popping the popcorn, Vanilla Ken, Army Beat, 209 Todd. All you turkey records out there.
God bless you.
The Culture is filmed before a live studio audience in Santa Rosa, California. Check out the video version of this podcast on YouTube, or find us online at theculture.com. We appreciate you listening and hope you can leave some positive comments. Thanks again and talk with you soon.
Gone.
Carl,
but I've got you.
Bring Carl back.
Neil, where's Carl?